Oh, and hello, chat room. My cam is back. I have a new one, and it kind of blows. I'm thinking about taking it back. It's choppy and slow and ugly.
What kind is it?
It's just one of these Logitech little balls.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
This episode of ELR is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Don't forget the codes Life1, Life2, and Life3, and save money at GoDaddy.com. Additional support comes from listeners like Bill Adamson, ControlF12.com, and Jeremy Turner. This episode is for you. Hey everybody, welcome back to Extra Life Radio. This is ELR number 223 for August 12th, 2009. I'm Scott Johnson. Welcome back to the show. We have someone back with us who's been away. Join with me welcoming Brian's tricorder sound. Just kidding. Obsidian from Abnormal, the world of Abnormality, the commissioncomic.com man himself, the guy who just spent a week in Kineticon or in Connecticut and has things to say about it. Welcome back, Obsidian, to the show.
Hey, Scott, I'm back from the United States. I still hate you more than ever.
Yeah.
You know, going to the U.S. just makes me realize how lame you are. But, Brian, you're cool. You know, I'm glad to see you.
Great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, Brian, what are you doing?
Wow, that... kind of laggy there.
What are you doing? What is that?
Does it make it laggy?
No. You just sound like you're talking from the surface of Mars or something. What is that?
you sound like you're our correspondent.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
You're playing with your Think Geek thing.
Play on my Think Geek thing. I bought this Star Trek communicator thing from Think Geek.
Yeah.
It is awesome. It is like a little Skype. I'm like, how do I sound?
You sound like you're talking on a horrible communicator. It sounds terrible.
Do I really? Yeah. No, it's horrible. How about when I push this button?
How long is not life as we know or understand it?
I'm hearing like Spock and McCoy stuff.
And it's sweet. Very, it has a lot of static to it.
Yeah.
Is it? Dang it. All right. That's cool. Hey, but I like it. It's a lot of fun. And if anyone else has one out there, I'd like them to call me so I can see how this works.
All right. Two-way. You are a giant nerd.
I know.
Giant nerd.
Try it.
That giant nerd is Brian Dunaway, of course, from Comics Coast to Coast and from Mission Deep. Good to have him in here as well. There you are.
Is that better?
Oh, it's smooth. It's
definitely.
It's like my mother reading me a bedtime story. That was really weird, but
your mother sounded very manly.
Well,
didn't she?
That's a good point. So it's been a couple shows without O, so it's good to have him back. I'm anxious today to talk about his.
It's been more than a month, almost a month and a half.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy. He had that one birthday party thing, and so we had to settle for Tom Merritt. I mean, come on, just had to settle for him. And then O went to Kineticon, and so that was obviously we couldn't do that week. And here we are, what, a week after that? 2 weeks after that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to have you back.
I don't want to say nothing, but I'm glad Zoe's back and, you know, Tom is finally gone.
Tom's a freaking Jeez. Tom. but no, let's find out how the trip went. I'm always...
Somehow that doesn't make me feel good.
Why? Know? Why is that? No, we love Tom. Tom's awesome.
Yeah, because the sarcasm is also... The sarcasm is so palpable that you can actually tell that you're not sorry he's gone. I'm kind of getting this, we're stuck back with O kind of vibe.
No. We're with, I'm with Tom all the time with other stuff, so it's
look at me. I'm with Tom
all the time. We need the thing.
Me and Tom.
We need the thing where O is with us. And here it is. This is the thing. This is our thing.
This is our O time.
Yeah, this is our O time. There's a reason we're all on the album art.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because... This is us.
What are your kids building?
It's Wii time. I don't know, dude. This microphone picks up every freaking thing. What you guys hear, the people at home don't hear.
Well, sorry. Scott, I think that for future ELR episodes, you should send your family away.
All right. I'll get right on that. So, you
know, no, it's your house. It's your rule.
Yeah, I should lay down the law. I'm the man, you're saying?
No. I mean, it's your house.
All right. I'm not the man, though.
The fact that you're the man, and I don't think you're the
My
man.
My wife's the man.
All right. Oh, and hello, chat room. My cam is back. I have a new one, and it kind of blows. I'm thinking about taking it back. It's choppy and slow and ugly.
What kind is it?
It's just one of these Logitech little balls. They're just kind of crummy.
Yeah, those things was like 30 bucks or something.
Yeah, I got it at Walmart. I just feel like it doesn't work very well.
Yeah, those things don't work. I've had one of those before. I've taken mine back, too.
I'm gonna take it back and go get an EyeSight or something better, because this thing sucks.
Absolutely. EyeSights are kind of expensive, but you can really tell the quality difference. Yeah. On that Logitech, is it listed on the box as saying Mac compatible and all that crap?
Oh, yeah, that's all on there. And it works. I mean, it works.
This is fascinating, really.
It's riveting information. Really good stuff.
Yeah, this is really fascinating.
So let's talk more about our Macs.
Yeah, Scott. Let's talk about some Macs a little bit. No, let's talk about O's trip. I want to know.
Oh, well, I can actually talk about Mac, because I did have a Mac experience on this trip.
Oh, tell us about
it.
What happened?
Well, my experience with Mac during this trip is, Mac, I do hate you.
Oh, I do. All right.
I have never felt more in the presence of snobbish, full of yourself, annoying behavior than when I was in the Mac store.
Why is that? Why?
I mean, I have never had somebody do such a poor job at customer satisfaction than at the Mac store in New Haven, Connecticut. I mean, it was incredibly... I don't know if there's more than one Mac store in New Haven, Connecticut, but over at the shopping center in New Haven, Connecticut, Mac store, I'm being this specific so people actually know where it is and what to look for. I had the worst time. It was so horrible. I mean, I got there, and first of all, okay, I suppose this is like true for all the Mac stores, but they make you wait for the guy at the entrance to notice you. I feel like I'm going to a dance club or a nightclub. You know, you actually have to stand at the entrance and sort of wait for the guy to notice you. And the guy was just there standing with his iPhone or iPod. I couldn't tell the difference.
That's
just standing
funny.
There, you know, just, you know, fiddling on it. And I'm like, hey, see me? See me? Because I went inside and I actually found the salesman that was not doing anything. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm looking for an iPad. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't help you. Like, what?
Really?
You're not doing anything.
He said he couldn't help.
And you work here. Yeah. And he's like, no, I can't help you. You actually have to go to the entrance, talk to, I don't remember what his name was, talk to whatever his name was, a very built African-American man.
Yeah.
And he'll actually take down your name, and we will call you when we're ready for you. I'm like, what?
So did you ask to see the wizard?
So I went to the entrance and I had to wait for the guy to notice me. As soon as he was done with his iPhone, he looks at me and he goes, okay, so what do you need? I'm like, okay, I'm looking for an iPod and a digital tablet. And I made him the whole list. He's like, okay, what is your name? I'm like, I'm O. You know, after the whole process of repeating my name,
and
like
how
50
do you spell
times,
that?
He takes down my name. He says, okay, when we're ready for you, we will call you. About half an hour later, you know, of just cruising through the store, another salesman comes to me and he goes like, hey, can I help you? I'm like, yes, you can. You know, I need an iPod and blah, blah, blah. He says, no. I can't sell you stuff. Like, what? Like, no, I was just wondering if you had a question. Like, my question is if somebody can actually sell me an iPod and a digital tablet. Oh, no, you have to wait for them to call you up front. So eventually, and there's people hanging out at the store that are not buying anything. They're just hanging out. I'm like, it's not like they sell food or anything. You know, I mean, you probably have a Mac at home. So anyway, we've been there for like half an hour, 40 minutes. Nobody has called our names. And Lonnie, the very nice girl that was with me that day, the people from the guild call her Despair.
Yeah.
She says, hey, you know, there's a Best Buy like a block from here. Like, oh, and can I buy all that stuff at Best Buy?
Can I buy stuff?
No. Can I buy all the stuff I need at Best Buy? And she's like, yeah, you know, they got it all over there. We go over to Best Buy. They are extremely nice. They had everything I needed. It was even cheaper than at the Mac store. I'm out there in 15 minutes.
Wow.
I'm out of there.
Nice. Good experience for you then.
You know what? Screw you, Mac.
Well, I, you know, not to be contradictive, I've never had that experience at an Apple store. That sounds terrible. That would piss me off.
No,
that, too.
That's because you're like that. That's because you're like the Apple prostitute. I mean, that you go to the Apple store and they know that you're just going to buy thousands of dollars.
Yeah. That's shocking. That's shocking you would say that.
There's Scott Johnson. I mean, he buys stuff every time he comes.
Shocking you'd say that. But, yeah, I have never had that experience. But I'm not saying you couldn't. Obviously, you did.
It was truly horrible. I mean, now being objective, of course, I know that it doesn't have anything to do actually with Mac itself. It's just the Mac store at the shopping center in Hartford has very, very bad salespeople.
It sounds terrible. Sounds horrible.
It was.
I'm glad Best Buy worked out for you, because I have the opposite problem here. Best Buy blows goats where I live. They're terrible. They're all 14. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where anything is or if it's in stock. It's horrible. So you actually
have goats to blow in Utah?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of open space out here up in Idaho.
And apparently no child labor laws.
Yeah, you can be 14. Make
14,
$2 an hour, whatever they pay them. I don't know. Who knows? That's a terrible Best Buy. No,
Utah for you.
If anyone lives near the American Fork Best Buy, you know what I'm talking about. Bad times. All right, tell us more about your trip. So you went to Kineticon. It's a big bunch of...
Oh, okay. Well, the trip itself was very... I kind of want to say interesting.
Yeah. Did you go by bus this time again?
It actually took me 2 days to get from Columbia to Connecticut.
Ugh,
nice.
I got to Miami, and because you had to go Medellin, Miami, Miami, New York, and from New York, whatever means I could get to Connecticut. But at Miami, they canceled the flight not before making me sit on an airplane for 6 hours.
6 hours?
Yeah.
That's horrible. Oh, you're living the worst nightmare. I hate that.
Did you fiddle with your shoes?
And what the crap is the matter with your planes? Because you guys don't even have water on them. I mean, I'm sitting there for 6 hours and not even a glass of water.
What? You're in, like, bizarro world. Who the crap isn't serving water in Miami? What is wrong with Miami is my question. What airline were you on? Bamboo Air?
American. Okay. American Airlines. American Airlines.
All right. All right.
But I mean, it wasn't their fault. It was just weather in New York. So the flight was eventually canceled around 8:30. And they send us to pick up our luggage. It actually took very long to come out that rail thingy where the luggage comes out on.
Luggage.
Whatever they're called.
The luggage dispenser.
The luggage merry-go-round thing.
The luggage excreter, it's called here in the U.S. No, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is. So it took forever.
So finally, like 10 p.m., I'm standing in line, a line that looks eternal, so they can reschedule my flight. And when I finally get there, this huge – I mean, this guy was like 7 feet tall and 7 feet wide, Jamaican dude –
wow.
I mean,
that
really, this guy was intimidating. I mean, when you're
like
7 feet tall, when you're 7 feet tall,
it also
and the
sounds
color
round.
It sounds what, Brian?
Round.
Very
round.
Seven by
no,
seven.
I'm serious. This guy was huge, and he was not only huge, he was pretty much the color of tar. So it was like this. I mean, this guy was very intimidating, standing beside me, very angry, very angry, and. Well, they got an awesome accent. I mean, you got to give them that.
Oh, yeah. Jamaican accent is great.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. So he starts screaming at the guy that is rescheduling my flight because the line was so long and apparently he'd already gone through it several times. And he starts waving his arms. You know what like people do when they're angry?
Sure.
Each one of his arms is about the size of my body.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't a happy wave.
No. All right. It doesn't sound like one.
And the funniest thing is that his wife is right there next to him, and she's practically the same size.
Wow.
I mean,
a couple of 7x7s. That's a 14x7 right there.
And the guy that was rescheduling my flight, I mean, the guy from American Airlines, he's got attitude too. So the Jamaican guy is standing there beside me, waving his huge arms, yelling at the top of his Jamaican accent voice.
I want my seat, man, like that.
He was much more
verbose.
Wordy.
Oh, okay.
And the guy from American is going, "Get serious, sir. I mean, come on, get serious." Get serious. No, no, no. He was going, "Get real."
Oh, all right.
"Get real, okay, sir. Get real." And I'm just in between them, feeling as tiny as I can be. And all I'm thinking is, oh, please do not get real. Please do not.
I'm just picturing this little bald freaking dude, between this sandwich between these enormous Jamaicans. I don't know why. That is awesome, dude. I hope this is a comic. Is it? Have I missed it?
No. I did make a comic about waiting on the plane. That was last Monday.
Yeah, I saw
but
that.
I did not make a comic about a huge Jamaican dude waving his arms over my head while the guy from American was telling him to get real. So anyway, the next day they just reschedule it. My flight goes to Raleigh, and from Raleigh to Hartford, which is the saddest airport I have ever been to. Hartford Bradley Airport. I feel so sorry for that airport. It is so lonely and dark and gray. It really is a sad airport. The Hartford Bradley Airport.
So can you tell me, when you say sad, you mean it's just empty and small?
I was the only person there.
And this is the town that the con is in. It's in Hartford, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I get off at Hartford Bradley Airport, and I call the hotel, the Marriott downtown. I'm like, okay, I'm at the airport. I need a shuttle. I'm sorry. We don't serve that airport.
Yeah.
Do you have another one? I mean, why did I get to this one?
Yeah.
Why did he send me to this crappy airport if you got another one? Apparently they didn't. They just don't serve the airport. So I have to take a taxi with a guy named Ismail. He's from Somalia, and he's been living in the United States for 40 years, and he can barely speak English. And I'm just I'm amazed how you can live for 40 years in the U.S. and definitely not speak the language.
Yeah.
So Ismail was talking his pants off, and I was getting like a third of it.
And you're just sitting there in the back seat, your little feet up because they don't reach the thing, and you still got Jamaican sweat on you. I've got this whole thing in my head now.
No, Jamaican sweat was from the night before.
Oh, that's right. It stays, though. It stays with you.
Yeah, yeah. But that night, they actually made me stay at a very nice hotel in Miami called the Embassy Suites or something. Oh, no, the Empire. Something with E. And I stole all the towels.
Wow.
I did. I stole all the towels.
You felt like you were due then.
I felt like I was what?
Due. Like you were due some.
It wasn't the hotel's fault. The towels were just so fluffy.
Okay. I've been needing some towels.
And the sad thing is I came here and I washed them and they're not fluffy anymore. Apparently.
Oh, man.
Apparently they're only fluffy in Miami.
They lose their fluff in Colombia.
No, and in Miami. In Miami, I'm waiting for the airport shuttle outside of the hotel.
Yeah.
And I start talking to this guy from República Dominicana or Dominican Republic. And he's telling me that he lived for 30 years in New York. Actually, I met him at the breakfast buffet or whatever. And I saw these things. I mean, they were familiar. You'll be surprised. We don't have them here in Colombia. You'll know what I'm talking about. I ask him, excuse me, sir. I know this is going to sound like a weird question, but are those bagels? We don't have them in Colombia. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's weird.
And the guy looks at me like I just farted or something. Yeah. And he goes, "Those aren't bagels." I'm like, oh, okay. I thought so. And he's like, "No, you can only get a real bagel in New York."
Oh, he's saying
these are just like fake bagels.
Yeah. So you had a bagel fanboy in the hotel. That's great.
He actually starts talking trash about the bagels, but the funny part is he's actually getting some. I mean, he has bagels on his plate. He's putting cream cheese on them and talking trash about them. all the time he's telling me that if I want a real bagel, I have to go to New York. Eventually, I mean, he's from Dominican Republic. He moved back there. And I tell them, and how is it compared to New York, where you used to live? And he's like, I like it a lot better. In Dominican Republic, they don't give you such a hard time with so many things. I can smoke wherever I want. I'm like, if you're a smoker, I can see how that's an advantage. It's like, oh, yeah, and driving a Dominican Republic is a lot better. You know, you don't have to do all that annoying crap like stop at a stoplight.
sounds like China.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, you know, stoplights, they're so inconvenient, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. So anyway, I eventually do get to Kineticon, to the hotel, and register over at the convention. And fortunately, from there, I mean, everything just started going well.
Now, you set it up in my head that everything's just all empty and like just like a wasteland. But I mean, the convention itself had lots of people, right? I mean, it's a city, right?
What, Hartford?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is. It is a city.
Yeah, so it's like buildings and things. But in my head, I've got like this. You know, it's like I'm reading The Stand or something after you described it the way you did. It just sounds like there's nothing anywhere. And you're saying, I mean, I guess once you get to the con, it's not bad. But I'm shocked that Hartford is so sparse sounding.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm of course I didn't see all of it, but I was there at the Marriott downtown at the convention center. And like I said, Saturday night, 10 p.m., we're looking for a place to eat. We actually walked all around the place, all around downtown, and we couldn't find anything open. This one bar that we had been to the night before, and we couldn't find their friends in there because I still maintain that they were hiding from us, but they deny it. they just say we didn't see them.
Okay.
But
all right.
But we went to several bars and to Burger King and all these places, and they were all closed Saturday at 10 p.m.
Burger King was closed at 10?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it was.
All right.
It was.
All right.
Scott's amazement.
So actually, the people in the chat room are saying, we went to City's Theme. It's actually a very cool bar over there. That was the bar that our friends were at. The other bar we tried was called the Arch Tavern or something, and that one was closed. At 10:30.
What?
Yeah, it was a bar.
I don't even go to bars, and I know they're supposed to be open till like 4 a.m. or something.
Well, it's a bar. I mean, that's kind of like the essence.
Does no one in Hartford ever get really drunk and get in fights and, you know, have car accidents and stuff?
There were drunk people outside of City Steam.
Mm.
Yeah.
But for example, that night we actually had to go to the convention cafeteria. They were not serving any food anymore, so we had to buy a bag of chips and sit. I mean, Saturday night, visualize this. Saturday night, 11 p.m., me and my friend sitting in our hotel room on our beds eating a bag of chips with a soda.
You guys know how to party, man.
And watching, here's the best part, we were watching Lethal Weapon
4. Oh, my gosh. You're describing everything about this so far. It just sounds like this horrible dream.
Yeah.
Oh no, the best
South America.
The best
you
part
didn't
is
even
when
get
we're
a
going...
good you didn't even get a good Lethal Weapon. It was like the worst one.
Yeah, the worst one, yeah.
Oh.
But it gets even better when we went to New York. We're looking for a hotel in New York. And my friend goes like, "Okay, you know, I found us a $25 a night hotel in Manhattan."
Holy crap.
I'm like, "Ooh. Okay, and what's
sure?
it like?" It's a bunk bed.
Ooh,
nice
squatter.
It's a bunk bed, and
we're
it's in
staying
a room.
At the YMCA.
and it's a room with like 10 other bunk beds in it.
Wow,
nice.
That's a hostel, basically, right?
It was a hostel.
Oh. That's awesome.
So New York was even more interesting.
So
but
you stayed in the hostel in New York.
Yeah, but Kineticon itself was really a lot of fun. I met a ton of nice people. I don't really know. I mean, I can tell you I saw a lot of people. I thought it was really cool. I've never been to it before, so I can't really compare it to earlier years and tell you if it was a big success compared to how it's always been. But I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought the panels I was at, like, for example, Art Fight, the Super Art Fight, was amazing. I mean, a whole lot of people. And the conclusion I got from Kineticon is the conclusions I got from Kineticon were, first of all, it's a great place to meet awesome webcomic artists. Webcomic artists are really nice people, most of them, except for one dude whom I will not name.
Ah,
because
shoot.
I do not, No, no, I don't want to be the webcomic guy that starts a fight with another webcomic guy, especially knowing that
this guy's
bigger.
Come on, do it.
No. Yeah, especially because it might have just been a misunderstanding. But on the last day, you know, I had buttons and stickers and magnets. So I go down to, like, all the webcomic people I had met, and I start, you know, I'm giving them buttons and stickers and magnets as gifts. You know, like, hey, you know, it was nice meeting you.
Sure.
Here, have this.
Sure.
And I get to this one guy, and I go to hand him over, you know, some stickers and go, like, here, you know, here's some stickers. Choose whichever one you like. He actually takes the bag, puts it, like, kind of hard against the table and goes, I don't want your damn stickers.
Like, wow. What the heck, dude? Now I need to know. You can tell me.
And I'm thinking, who doesn't like free stuff? You know? Wow.
It's stickers.
What a jerk.
Free stickers.
No. And for people saying it was Tim Buckley, no. Tim Buckley was very nice.
Yeah. Don't start rumors because he didn't say a name. Don't start a bunch of rumors about people he didn't talk about.
And Tim Buckley was a very nice guy. I mean, he was not like overly friendly because, of course, he doesn't know me. But, you know, I went, you know, I spoke to him, introduced myself, everything, and he was very formal, very nice. I mean, he's a cool guy. And, you know, some other guys that I got to meet, like, more in person, like Lar from – least I could do. I mean, that guy is like the nicest guy ever.
He's awesome. The
people from Snafu Comics are amazing. I mean, they are truly like some of the nicest people you're ever going to meet. And of course, like all the webcomic like friends I made, you know, like the people that organized the Super Art Fight. I mean, those people were incredibly amazing. And
did you see Ram? Was Ram Sumer there? Did you meet Scott?
Yes. I actually got to sit next to him in a panel called Webcomics from the Wild, where we were talking about our experience drawing webcomics in another country and how inconvenient it was. I'm not very sure how wild Canada can be, but yeah.
Well, yeah, no, I could see like that. You and I talked about this before, but the whole Columbia side, you could totally see how that would be, you know, a tricky dick, as it were. But Canada, yeah. I'm trying to think, what do you do up there? That's so like, is he out in the Yukon in the middle?
Oh no! For example, we were talking to this one that she draws Wasted Talent, and she's from Vancouver, and all she said was like, "Hey, Vancouver is awesome." Okay, yeah, cool. And Casey Green is from Oklahoma, which apparently is like some place that you Americans forgot.
Oh yeah, that sounds about right.
Hey, by the way, Wasted Talent. Angela, is it Melick? Is her last name?
I don't know her last name, but she's very nice.
Big fan. I really like her art style.
Yeah, she's cool. Really nice. And Casey Green was also in that panel. He's the guy from Oklahoma, and of course Scott Ransomare from Canada. Not very verbose. He's nice, just not a very talkative person.
Well, we've had him on the show. He wasn't very talkative here either. Remember?
Yeah.
So yeah, we probably it's probably the same kind of thing. So I really want to know who this guy was, but you'll have to tell me off the air.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely tell you.
Is it someone I'll know? Will I recognize it?
I don't know who you know, Scott.
Well,
I know you know the – no, actually, he was very nice.
Who?
Chris Straub. Chris Straub. He was very nice. He was a very nice dude. And actually, he was very nice considering the circumstances, because I'm actually standing in front of him, in front of his table, in front of Chris Straub, telling this other guy that I wanted him to hold my sack. and he's looking at me like, ooh. But he was very nice. He was a good sport.
No, Chris is totally nice. We played Left 4 Dead together, and he's as nice a guy as you could ever meet. But I really want to know who this other guy is.
I'm looking through everybody that went to Comic-Con, and I'm trying to see who would be a jerk.
Yeah, look do that, Brian. Be like a little bar bet here. We'll try to figure out who it is before he tells us.
A real jerk.
But I'll tell you that. I mean, all the webcomic artists I met at Kineticon were incredibly nice, except for that one guy. Other than that, they were all like this incredible bunch of people. Even the people I didn't get really like a big chance to talk to. I mean, all of them were really, really nice. For example, I got to in the Super Art Fight, I got to fight against Garth Graham from Finders Keepers.
Yeah,
that guy is amazing. I mean, I can't believe I beat him. That guy is like super talented.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
He is super talented. I got to meet the guy from Atomic Robo, which is
Atomic Robo,
which is pretty much one of my favorite webcomics of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, Lar from Least I Could Do was amazing. Dern from Dernworks was actually like one of the guys I got to hang out with, and he was really, really nice. There were several guys I didn't see. I don't know if it's because I just didn't catch them or anything, but I didn't see them, or several people I didn't want to meet, like the XKCD guys or the Apple Geeks guys, which were just like they had so many people on top of them that didn't really seem worth it.
So the XKCD guy, was he handing out sketches? I'm just wondering.
There were so many people around him, I didn't even see what they were doing. I saw a picture just today, and I'm like, oh, that's what they look like. Because I had not even managed to see them.
I just wonder. I mean, I'm nothing against SKCD. I check it out every day, and I actually think it's super funny. I just, the artwork to me on display at a con, I just can't. Well, it seems like a different animal than everyone else.
Yeah, it seems like it wouldn't.
From the pictures, from the pictures I saw in Facebook and all that kind of stuff, they were kind of like making drawings for people.
I guess so, man. I mean, they're stick people. I'm just saying. Just a bunch of stick people. I'm just saying that it's what makes XKCD work so well and be so strong is its incredible writing, and it's really intelligently done. The stick people, he probably could have his grandmother stand in for 6 weeks and draw the thing while he does the jokes, and you wouldn't know. I mean, I don't think anyone would deny that, including them. So it just surprises me. I guess if you know the hand of the dude who draws it, wrote it, and handed it to you. Even though it was just stick people, you would know who did it and therefore be valuable. But I don't know.
Yeah.
That weirded me out. So,
the cartoonist,
how would you rate them on the art scale? Are they pretty good?
Who, the one that's the jerk?
Yeah.
Hey, Brian's whittling away, dude. He's going to find us.
No, man. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. I mean, I met some great artists and some really nice people. And a lot of webcomics, because you guys know that I don't really read webcomics all that much. So, I saw a lot of people, and actually one of the conclusions I got from the convention was I need to read more webcomics because there's a lot of awesome stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of really indie stuff nobody knows about.
Of missing out. I mean, the people I hung out with, like the Art Fright people like Nick and Marty and Ross Scott and Dern. And I'm probably missing a whole bunch of people, so a lot of people are going to be offended. Oh, Joe from Joe Loves Crappy Movies, he's like the nicest guy.
Really?
And he's really a good sport because I started to make I declared that I loved him and I wanted to marry him and stuff like that. And he was a really good sport about it.
Wow.
He laughed very uncomfortably, just like you'd expect him to. Yeah.
Yeah, he really did. He really did. And for example, Alina from Ware Geeks, she did not get angry at all when I just went and sat at her table and started telling people that I was drawing Ware Geek.
Nice.
She did not mind.
So were there any like celebrity sightings, anybody of note outside of this community?
Oh, well, I actually did see one guy that I was actually sad that people were not recognizing. I saw Sean Wang. He was the artist for The Tick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the creator. I mean, the creator is somebody else.
Yeah.
But he was the artist for The Tick, and I get to his table and he's got like all the comics there and everything.
Yeah.
To draw The Tick and everything, and I look around and nobody. I mean, nobody's around. Nobody's paying attention to him. I'm like, wow, you're like the most successful artist here. Why are there not more people here? And he's like, well, young people. I mean, they're all like 12-year-olds. They don't know what The Tick is.
Is it Bed Edlund? Is that his name?
No, I just said Sean Wang.
Oh, sorry. They don't have him in the Wikipedia entry. That's why I asked.
Yeah. Well, I met him. I mean, that was awesome. I got to meet the writer of Atomic Robo, which to me is like a celebrity.
Wow, no! Atomic Robo's awesome. It's one of my favorite things on the web. Amazing. Period. Yeah,
one of the best things.
It's the they've got trade paperbacks and stuff that are I've been trying to get my hands on. They're kind of hard to get if you don't buy them when they're, you know, regularly available. But yeah, and, Atomic Robo is awesome.
And the people in the chat room are right. I mean, the other awesome people I got to meet was, you know, people that read the webcomic and stuff like that. I mean, really, like some of the nicest people. I wasn't really expecting to meet anybody, like anybody to come up and say, you know, hey, I read commissions or anything like that. But it did happen, and it was like the nicest people ever. Really, for example, even several ELR fans like Despair or Lonnie, who I hung out with on Monday.
Yeah.
She actually went up to the table and said, hey, look, you know, I don't read commissioned. I just read ELR. I'm sorry. I just read Extra Life. But I was told to come and hang out with you. And she was like the nicest person ever.
She is. She's super nice. She's amazing in our guild.
And she started her own webcomic, too, called She's Almost Normal.
Yep.
We're at she'snormal.com.
She'snormal.com. She's got her first one up, and it's good. She's a fine artist, too. She's going to school and all this kind of cool stuff.
Oh,
she's got a lot of potential. So
very good.
So it was really cool because I really got to meet amazing people and a lot of nice people. And then I went to New York, and everybody was angry.
Well, isn't that you were born there though? Didn't they see you and go, "Oh,
no,
he's back"?
I was born here.
Oh, that's right. But you grew up part of your young days there, right? Like 8 years old or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
So they didn't miss you. They didn't see you coming and going, "Ah, oh, he's back, our lost son."
Not really. And you know, I'll define New York for you. New York is like an ugly girlfriend with nice tits.
Very good.
Wow. Yeah,
no, really. I don't know if you've been to New York, Scott.
No, I've flown over it. Never been there.
No, I've never been. It's on the plans, but
it's on your list.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, New York is like an ugly girlfriend with nice tits. Basically, all the time you're looking at her and you're going like, "Oh man, no, this is not good. Hairy legs, you know, flabby thighs." I mean, she's horrible. She's got pimples on her face, awful hair. But then you look at the tits and you go,
"Oh, she's got high standards."
then you look at the chest and you go like, "Ooh, that's nice." And that is New York. You're walking around and you know, it's just too many people. A lot of it smells bad. A lot of it looks horrible. And then you come to this place, which is like the parts that they show at the movies.
Oh, boobs.
And you're like, "Oh, so this is what New York is about." And then the next block, it's ugly again.
Yeah.
So that is basically New York. Every now and then you come across the boobs and it's nice, but all the rest is not really that nice.
All right. So was there anything at this thing that did they have sci-fi Hollywood people there at all? Or were they all at Comic-Con the week before and didn't go? How did that work?
What?
Like, you know, like usually at these cons, like all these different kinds of cons, like at Dragon Con and other cons, you'll have people like, you know, the guy that played the fourth Klingon in the third episode.
No. I mean, they had some people. I mean, I was like walking across the table. And they're like, "Oh, you know, this is the guy from Legend of Neil." I'm like, "Where is he?" He's out.
He's not actually here.
He's trying to find a place that's open at 10 o'clock in Hartford.
No. Eventually he did come, you know, and he was like the major celebrity there. Oh, and there was this other guy from the guild that.
Oh,
not,
nice. Yeah.
The guild.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was Sanjeev or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Sandeep.
Sandeep. I got mixed up with the hairy Russian wrestler from Street Fighter.
Yeah, so, but I mean, that was about it. I mean, of course, remember, I was sitting at a table most of the convention, so
I didn't
get to see all that.
Yeah.
But they really didn't have, like, that many celebrities or anything.
So
but I don't
David
really
Hasselhoff
care
wasn't there or nothing like that?
Sadly enough, no.
The Hoff is busy doing that America's Got Talent showdown thing they were in the middle of. So
wouldn't it be kind of frustrating, though, to have the Hoff tell you that you can't sing well?
Yes. It'd be bad to have the Hoff to say anything. Every time I watch that show, and I do watch it because it's kind of addicting, but every time he talks, I'm like, dude, you cannot be critical of these guys. The guy he's making fun of is like someone who's doing an acting piece. I'm like, dude, you cannot make fun of that guy.
I was watching Knight Rider yesterday, funny enough, and that show was just so poorly written. There was a scene in it, and Michael apparently went down in like this little pit area to get this girl who had, I guess, either got knocked out or something other. And so he had picked her up, wrapped him around himself, had some gloves on, and Kit shot down his little what do you call those things that they reel in?
Fishing thing. Yeah, grappling hook.
Isn't it a winch?
Yeah, a winch.
That's a winch. Very nice, yeah. So Kit threw out his winch out of the front of his car, and he was pulling Michael back up. And all of a sudden, the winch starts smoking. And I'm thinking, what kind of crappy winch is in this multi-million dollar car that cannot lift, you know, like 300 pounds of people out of this pitch?
Oh, maybe the question you should have been asking is, how much does the Hoff weigh?
Yeah, there you go.
Is he pure gold inside? I don't know. He is.
He's all lead, dude.
Well, he is the Hoff. You know, so if somebody's made out of gold, it's got to be the Hoff.
If you want to do something ridiculous with your time, and I know you can't get Hulu in Columbia, but watch the old Hollywood Squares reruns they have on there right now. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching it yesterday. There was, like, of all the eight, well, how many squares are there? Six? No, wait.
Six. No.
No, I think it's nine.
Nine. Nine. Yeah, middle nine. One and the eight outside, right. And I'm watching that, and I'm like, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, it's nine.
It's not.
No, you're right.
Three by three square.
No, you're right. So I'm watching that, and I realize, oh, my gosh, every one of these squares except for Billy Crystal, who's like 12 in this thing. He's way young, like in his 20s. Every single one of them is dead, including the host and the two old guy contestants, and every other has-been Hollywood dude in this thing are dead except Billy Crystal. And it just weirded me out. But I got hooked on that the other night, and I couldn't stop watching it. I watched like eight of them in a row.
I loved watching that as a kid. And was it Jim Bullock? No, wait, that's not Jim. That's a... Is it Jim Bullock?
I don't know. Who's Jim Bullock?
The crazy
Sandra
guy from
Bullock's
Too Close.
Father.
No, the Too Close for Comfort.
Oh,
he used to play on that show, and he was always the weird guy.
Yeah. I know who you mean.
A loopy.
I didn't know his name was Jim Bullock. Jim J. Bullock. That's it.
Is that it?
Jim J. Bullock, right? But the middle square, then this one was the dude, I don't know why we're talking about this, was that Paul Lind guy from Bewitched, and the one that like was weird and like had weird drug problems and all that. Anyway, that guy cracks me up. Everything he says
they
is
were
funny.
Back then, man.
I know, dude. It's best.
By the way, I do want to make this sort of clarification. I'm not saying New York is lame, okay? New York is awesome. I mean, it is New York after all. I mean, you can't really beat New York. It's just... Sometimes it's just a little too much to take in.
Yeah.
I mean, they got entire shirts and songs about how much everybody loves New York.
Look, I have friends that live in New York, and they say the same thing I was saying. It's just sometimes it's just too much.
No, I mean, you're riding on the subway, and, I mean, this huge, enormous homeless dude with a bag full of something I did not identify sits there and starts arguing with himself up to the point that I was kind of thinking about breaking it up.
You can step in.
But, I mean, that is funny.
There,
I mean, that is funny in the movies, but it's not funny when you're sitting next to the dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's funny.
And that happens when you're in New York, and it is damn expensive. Wow. I mean, I'm there on the second day, and I tell my friend, you know what? The only thing I can afford from here until I leave is to walk.
So here's a big question then to kind of round this out before we move on to G.I. Joe, and that will this be your yearly stop? Is Kineticon now have your heartstrings and your desires to go back?
No. Kineticon was a lot of fun. I had a great time. If I could go to conventions, like several conventions, I'd go back, definitely, because it was a lot of fun. But since I can only do like one every 2 years or so, Kineticon, I don't know if this is every single convention. I'm going to have to do a lot of research before I choose the next one. But, okay, here's the thing. Everybody's like 12.
All right.
And, I mean, no, this doesn't mean that there weren't any grown-ups. I mean, but they kind of make you feel old. I mean, you're sitting there watching everybody go by, and like the average age is like between 12 and 15. Like I remember when I was at Dragon Con, I actually could go to the party. Big rave that they had. You could actually go and not feel bad. Here, I actually, you know, sort of looked into the party, and it looked like something at Chuck E. Cheese. It was awful.
big animatronic rats? That'd be great.
No, just like a bunch of kids. I don't mind that. It's just that all these kids are completely into anime.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love anime too, but I don't do anime. So when you got like thousands of 12-year-olds that all they care about is Naruto, you're definitely with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I need a convention that is probably not so anime oriented. You know, so I'm still looking which one is going to be my next one. Kineticon was awesome. I had a lot of fun, and you know, I'd go again if I could. But I need something that's less anime oriented and probably a little bit older audience.
And a place that opens more stuff later at night.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, with a more happening city.
You should have gotten pictures of you sitting on a hotel bed eating a bag of chips.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Watching Lethal Weapon 4, dude. That's awesome. That is my favorite thing I've heard in a month. What?
Is that the one with Jet Li?
Yeah, it is.
Jet Li. Yeah.
That's the one where,
Jet Li is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It may have been the first movie I'd seen Jet Li in that was an American sort of English movie. Yeah.
Well, Well, I kind of fell asleep. I mean, I'd already seen it, but I kind of fell asleep when Briggs. No, wait. Which one is which?
I don't know.
The old dude is. Whatever. When the old
say
dude...
Danny Glover and Mel Gibson.
the one that beats up Whoopi Goldberg in Color Purple. That's
okay,
the old guy.
Yeah. When that guy starts running around the street in his boxers.
Yeah.
That's kind of like when I felt.
That was when you were done. You signed off. I got you.
Yeah, I fell asleep. So.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and I know there are people there. I've heard from a couple of people. I saw a Kineticon, so they were all happy to see you there. Yeah. So
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I did have a great time.
Brian, I can't wait to hear your report from Dragon Con this year.
Hello.
Or Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Hello, Scott Johnson.
Dude, you're going to go to Dragon Con. You're going to be able to hang out with Tom and Veronica and all those guys.
I am totally stoked about hitting the Dragon Con. It's only, less than a month away?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be way cool. I mean, it never disappoints. That is a huge affair, Dragon Con.
All you got to do is poke your nose and they'll put you on that Sword and Laser panel.
I want to be on the Sword and Lasers podcast if they would have me on there.
Oh, they'll do it, dude. Veronica will have you. She will pull you up on stage and you will be on that in that panel, that live recording that night. Guaranteed.
That would be so awesome. I'm not going to put it.
All you have to do is wave at her, dude. Just wave at her.
Yeah.
Wink at her.
Hey,
show her a little skin. Show her a little bit of your left boob, side boob. And you're in.
Best.
All right, well, let's move on. Now, it's ironically enough, I wanted the show to be a lot of sort of O's reporting on things, and as it turns out, the only person in this... What?
Yeah, because we haven't heard from him in a month.
I know, it's been a long time.
We've got to get caught up.
So I was thinking, well, by the time we record, we'll have all seen G.I. Joe by then, because I promised Nick we'd go, and we haven't gone yet. We're going this weekend. So I haven't seen it yet, but O has seen it, so let's talk about G.I. Joe real quick. So tell us about the movie. Like it, hate it? I mean, the reviews are kind of all over the place. There's some people that say, if I was 12, this would be the best movie I've ever seen. But I'm not 12, so it kind of sucks. That kind of talk is what I'm hearing a lot of people.
A vibe I caught from it a lot is the same Star Wars prequels vibe, which is a bunch of people go to this movie and they don't realize that they're not the target audience.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, dude, you're like 30 or 40. This movie was not made for you. You can come and enjoy it if you want, but realize it's not made for you. As far as, I remember having my G.I. Joes. They were kind of like my favorite toys when I was a kid.
Totally.
The movie does get at a part in it where you actually do feel like you could actually read it, reach out, grab the characters in the movie, and just like play around with them, because some of the stuff that happens is so absurd that this is the kind of stuff that happened in my bedroom, playing around with my toys.
Yeah.
So the movie is really absurd. I mean, you really have to turn off your brain to go into it.
Which is what I was thinking.
I mean, it is a fun movie. This guy Wayans or whatever his last name is.
Wayans. One of the Wayans brothers. Yeah. I don't know which one, but yeah, one of the Wayans is in it.
This guy should not be in action movies. He is not.
He was also the one that brought us Dungeons and Dragons too, right?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, is he? Same.
Yeah.
He should not be in movies that are trying to be serious. And I don't know what the problem. I mean, what is the thing trying to make all these movies funny?
Well, isn't he's he like one of the comic? Isn't he one of the? He's one of the White Chicks movie guys, right?
Yeah. All his he and all his brothers, they all do comedy, and I mean. Yes. In the chat room, they say he was also in Requiem for a Dream, and it was an awesome movie, and he was great in it. Yes, but
yes.
Well, he ruined Dungeons and Dragons, but then again, it was already ruined. So yeah. And G.I. Joe, well, okay, yeah. In his defense, it was not the best movie ever, but he was like the comic relief. And I've never seen any of the G.I. Joe characters as comic relief. I did have my favorites, of course.
Yeah.
But I mean. Okay, now
I'm with you. There wasn't very much in the way of actual humor in G.I. Joe, at least the cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's not supposed to be funny. It is not supposed to be dense, but it's not supposed to be funny either.
How's Snake Eyes? Because you talked all about this. Ray Park is going to be Snake Eyes. That's going to be great. Did that pay off for you, that part of it?
Well, Snake Eyes, I mean, Ray Park is like. Look at the parts that Ray Park has played throughout his career. It's like they make him to be like a geek's dream. I mean, he's been Darth Maul. He's been in the X-Men movies. He was even a choreographer for Mortal Kombat 2, Annihilation, which is not very good on your resume, but whatever.
And
now he's Snake Eyes. I mean, this guy is like convention food.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Convention food.
Yeah. No, and actually when Brian and I, when we were over at Dragon Con in 2007, we saw him.
Yep.
And he's like this really nice, I mean, he doesn't look very aggressive at all or anything. He is
not
huge.
At all.
I mean, he is huge. I mean,
he can snap my neck in a second.
Yeah, absolutely. But Snake Eyes is awesome. I mean, you can go watch G.I. Joe just for Snake Eyes. And what they did get very right, because the Duke, they did not get him right. The Duke is lame.
How can you not get Duke right? I mean,
he's lame.
That kind of makes you mad.
Really, I mean, is.
How's Destro? That's one I want to see.
He's kind of like
Eccleston.
I expected him to be, because I've always seen Destro to be more like a businessman, sort of like this very crafty dude, and that's what he is.
With a metal head!
Oh, not yet. Not yet. Not in this movie, not yet. Oh. But so I mean, Destro is like this really crafty dude, and that's pretty awesome.
Does Cobra Commander actually wear, like, I don't want to do any spoilers, but does he wear like a helmet and stuff, or is he just a dude? I hate it when they're just dudes.
No, actually, it's pretty awesome, because you never discover who Cobra Commander is until the very end of the movie. And at the end of the movie, you do get to see him with the helmet and all that kind of stuff. I suppose that is good enough without spoiling it. Now,
that's great. Perfect.
Scarlet is hot. Wow.
Oh, of course.
The way that plays Scarlet is hot. And her character is okay. Basically, like, the whole G.I. Joe thing is about watching Snake Eyes. And it's awesome because they got like just the right amount of Snake Eyes. He's not. I mean, you don't see him too much, but you don't go out of the movie saying, "I wish I had seen more of that character." I mean, they show him just enough, and they play him really well. I was even sold on the whole lips on the mask thing. I mean, it doesn't really look that bad.
Doesn't. I was worried about that. That sounded kind of lame when I heard about it. And That's good to know.
But it doesn't really look that bad. I mean, he really looks well. I was afraid that maybe they would like would not be able to resist the temptation of making him talk or something. But he's silent the whole movie. Actually, at the end, at the very end of the movie, there was this one moment where I could have sworn they were going to make him talk.
Well, here it comes! Here it comes!
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Like, he's going to say something, but no. No, fortunately, they did not. So he
yogurt.
Was really well. My biggest gripe with the movie is the technology in the movie went beyond fiction, beyond that. Oh, this is awesome, turn your brain off, fun, and it went way into the realm of come on.
Yeah, I've seen all the trailers and those suits that obviously looks like a lot of humor is involved with trying to manipulate the suits that they're wearing and everything, and it looks a little over the top.
I heard that scene though is really cool though, where they really let those rip.
It's awesome. It's awesome to watch when they're running around in the suits, but it was totally unnecessary. They really did not need that in the movie. And the conclusion of G.I. Joe is nanotechnology can do anything. There's nothing in this world that nanotechnology cannot do.
Wow.
I just want to note one thing. At the end of the movie, after the credits, did they do a PSA?
No, unfortunately. Okay, here's the bad part.
According to Kurtz, they mentioned that he was telling me how they keep mentioning and knowing's half the battle like a bunch of times. Is that true?
Yeah.
You see, here's the thing. I sit down in the movie, and when they start talking in Spanish. I actually accidentally ended up in a dubbed version.
Oh no.
Dude.
Yeah. Apparently, here in Colombia, they thought it was a kids' movie.
They got it right. Sounds like
nice.
I was sitting there through the credits waiting to see if there was something at the end, and they actually turned on the lights and shut off the movie. Like, hey,
get out.
Credits aren't over yet. So
Do you ever get mad? I don't know about you guys' theater, but the theater we go to, if we stay after the movie, you know, almost everybody leaves, and she's just me and my wife and kids or whatever. And there's, you know, the guys start coming in, they start cleaning up the theater.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
I keep looking at them going, dude, I know you've come here and cleaned up after every show. Why can't you just tell me if there's something at the end? I just want to ask them, you know, hey, dude, am I wasting my time?
Actually, I mean, it doesn't always happen, but it has happened to me that the guy comes up to me and says, like, hey, you know, there's nothing after the movie. You can leave.
There's nothing after the movie. Unless you want to watch, you know, the little
credits
rating. Yeah, see it. Go.
Yeah.
That's good because I'm always nervous about asking. I always want to go, hey, dude. Huh? Should I go?
Okay, think extra things I did not like from the movie. The soundtrack is really not good.
Really? Techno? You
know, the music that starts... Yeah, but it's annoying techno because there's actually good techno.
Yeah, I love some techno. But
yeah, the music at the end credits, you know, it starts beating and you're like, oh, you know, this sounds kind of cool, and then it just gets annoying.
The snake guy comes out and starts dancing.
Yeah, I was half expecting that. You know.
Wow.
And this guy, what's his name? Is it the guy that did Commander Hawk?
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah. He was kind of irrelevant.
Really?
I was kind of thinking that he was going to be kind of...
Well, I mean, think about it. He's the biggest name in the movie, and they need a big name to just say, oh, look who's in this, and then that's all you got to do. He's just getting a paycheck.
Yeah, he was kind of irrelevant, so, I mean, don't expect much from that.
What did you think of... now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, do you feel like it's... I mean, it's the number one movie here. I don't know about the rest of the world. And so it's going to do gangbusters money. Did you feel like this is like sequel material? We're going to see more of these? Or do you think this is a one-shot deal?
I don't know. You know,
keeping in mind Transformers, when I saw it, I thought, no way they're going to make a second one of these.
Really? You did?
No.
You're such a liar.
If that's the point, when I saw Saw, when I saw the first Saw movie, I said, well, there's no way a sequel can be made out of this, and they made five of them.
Yep, that's true.
No, I mean, watching the movie, I would say, no, that's better, you know, best not make a sequel. But if they were, I wish that they would do the same thing I wish that they would do with Transformers. Get a bunch of writers. I mean, what is it with Hollywood writers? Please come to terms with the fact that you are not funny. You're not.
Yeah.
I mean, stop making my action movies funny.
Yeah.
When I want to laugh, I watch a comedy. When I want to watch an action movie, I just want to be going, oh, that's awesome, all the time.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of disappointed.
Confused about it, they can always go back and watch Predator.
Yeah, that's
all
true.
Of that.
That's true.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Sorry, no, go ahead.
That I was kind of disappointed that I did not get to see more flesh with the babes.
Well, but, see, that's the thing. I mean, everybody I've talked to says the movie felt like it was made for 10-year-old kids. And if that's the case, then I'm taking Nick and we'll have fun, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. And it was. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're just not the audience. I mean, we're the geeks, and you know, we're the people that are like psyched because we played with G.I. Joes when we were kids and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I'm thinking in about 20 years from now, they're gonna make a Max Steel movie, and all the little kids today, which are gonna be 30-year-old way then, are gonna say, ah, you know, they totally ruined Max Steel. Yeah. And I'm gonna be thinking, oh, Max Steel was so lame.
And then you're gonna think I've lost the cap to my colostomy bag right after that.
I was kind of afraid to go see G.I. Joe and my kids after watching Hasbro's Transformers 2, which was definitely not for my kids. I mean,
ball jokes,
nothing. I mean, it was just they were just using some profane language.
No. G.I. Joe is definitely kid friendly. I mean, the most sex you get is somebody kisses.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
That is the most sex you get. Oh,
good,
and
I don't have to explain nothing.
Why is Destro kissing Cobra Commander, Daddy? I don't know.
At the beginning of the movie, you even get like the whole Hasbro logo. Like, wow,
nice.
Okay, you're branding the movies now. Cool. Good for them.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're pretty much out of toys to do it with, though, right? Because it's pretty much either that and what, Mr. Potato Head Adventure, maybe? I don't know.
Mr. Potato Head Adventure.
I guess it's going to be Toy Story 3.
Yeah, that'll be Toy Story 3, which I'm looking forward to. Well, it sounds like it's a film that I need to go see, at least, and take Nick to, and not have my expectations be that this is going to be the adult realization of my childhood memories, and that's fine.
No. Just go to watch Snake Eyes, and you'll have fun guaranteed.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that's all I need, that's all I need. Well, we're about out of time. Before we head on out of here, I do want to say real quick that I'm sad that John Hughes died. And the reason I'm sad that John Hughes died, even though he hasn't really made a movie since, I think, 92 or something, or maybe more than that, is because for whatever reason, John Hughes movies, and I mean all of them, pretty much defined my teenage years.
Totally.
Like everything I was into socially or whatever, his movies seemed to illustrate those things. And even movies like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which I think is a freaking classic.
Those aren't pillows.
that movie, for whatever reason, he made movies that made people feel like he got them personally.
Yeah.
Somehow, even though they, you know, I don't know. It's a skill that I don't think too many filmmakers have anymore. And even though he kind of stuck to the whole teenage movie kind of genre for the most part, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Some Kind of Wonderful, Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, all that kind of stuff, it felt like he was talking about us. And as it turns out, he was talking about everybody, and everybody felt like, you know, felt like that.
Yeah.
So
that was very poetic, Scott.
Well, you know, you do what you got to do. But all I know is this is just a quick little anecdote. When I was 15, Breakfast Club was in the theaters, and my parents were pretty anti-rated R for me for a long time, but they took me to see that movie because, because I had said, dude, you got to I'm going to see it either way, first of all. And second of all, it'd be nice to take, you know, to go with my parents so you guys can see what my generation's talking about. You know, in my mind, it was all about that. And so they did. We went and saw it together, and it was kind of this weird bonding parents moment where we got to see Breakfast Club. And I love that movie. But anyway, so hats off to John Hughes. We will miss his fine work.
Did you back up to go see Pretty in Pink?
I did, and they said no. They said anything with Molly Ringwald is bad. And I said, well, I failed to tell them that in Breakfast Club she was also in that movie. So they had to be surprised by that, and then they were disgusted.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wanted to kill me. Just kidding. She's all right. Well, that's going to be about it. Thank you, everybody, for being here. This has been a fun episode. It's good to have O back and good to have, of course, Brian here. If you want to see what O's doing on the website, his comics right now are all about his experience in Connecticut. You can see that over at commissionedcomic.com. You can follow him on Twitter at OAbnormal. Brian, of course, can be found at missiondeep.com as well as comicscoasttocoast.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at missiondeep. And, of course, you can follow me at myextralife.com. Just about ready to go through a major design overhaul in the next day or so watch for that. Go check it out, myextralife.com. There's forums and everything else you'll ever need to know about this show, including archives, the comic, and everything else. So go check that out. I had other stuff to tell you about, but I can't remember any of it, so I'll save it for next time. Looking forward to that. We'll be talking about District 9 and other stuff we've been up to, other geekaroony. Thank you, chat room, for being here. You guys were awesome. And don't forget you can follow me at twitter.com/extralife. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful week, and until next show, take care.
Talking about our experience drawing webcomics in another country and how inconvenient it was. I'm not very sure how wild Canada can be, but yeah.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.